Hey, welcome back to Chronic But Iconic. So glad to have you here. It's so exciting, a new series and new things to dive into. So I'm so glad you're joining me. We are now on series 4, it's crazy. But let's talk all things chronic illness. So glad to have you back. Hi, Courtney.
Hey, Sophie, how's it going?
I'm good, thank you. Thank you for being on Chronic But Iconic today. I'm so, so excited to have you. Thank you.
Oh, thank you for having me and for, you know, responding and everything. You know, it's great. It's such an honor.
No, thank you so much. So I kind of want to hand over the floor to you and just let you introduce yourself and just, like, open the floor up, basically, because you've got so much to cover. And I really, really want, because it's going to be so, so powerful, your message. So I really, really want you to portray it from yourself.
Yeah, thank you so much. So my name is Courtney Ng. I am from Toronto, and I'm the co-founder of Hope for Ataxia, which is a grassroots organization, and we raise ataxia awareness globally.
Fab.
So essentially, yeah. So essentially, I have ataxia. I have autosomal recessive cerebellar ataxia type 1. I know it's a mouthful, but essentially what it is ataxia is a large term that describes a group of any life-altering progressive neurological disorders. So it's really damaged different parts of the nervous system,
yeah.
That can cause ataxia. And it can cause things like impaired balance, coordination, and speech. So a lot of time people, because they have the slurred speech and balance issues, they might appear drunk-like.
Yeah.
So there's many types of ataxia. There's over 70 types of different types of ataxia.
Oh,
and it's a rare disease.
Yeah.
So there's thousands of different rare diseases out there, and ataxia is just one of them. So I'm really thankful that you've given me this platform to talk about it, because not a lot of people know what it is. A lot of time people can be misdiagnosed. A lot of the symptoms are similar to other conditions, like Parkinson's or MS.
Yeah.
So a lot of times people are misdiagnosed or they're undiagnosed.
And that's why this is so powerful to me, because it was kind of the same with Lyme disease. You know, it mimics so many other different things. And I'll hold my hand up and be, you know, upfront about this. I didn't know anything about your organization and all your work and even it as a disease. And I felt it was so, so important for you to come on, because I could relate and I know the difficulty of getting a diagnosis, feeling that you're not listened to, feeling that you're going a bit crazy because you don't know what's going on in your body. And it's the worst.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it was tough. I mean, you know, a lot of time people can be misdiagnosed for years.
Yeah.
And then they don't have the right thing and, you know, they're mislabeled, and it's really frustrating to be in that circle. So, you know, I created Hope for Ataxia really to spread awareness, but also, you know, to be on podcasts like yours, where it's really empowering and inspiring people to think beyond their disability, and think beyond what they can and cannot do. And, you know, one of the mainstays of Hope for Ataxia is really support. So we're not, you know, experts, or not, you know, subject matter, you know, experts and doctors or anything like that. But what we do is talk about lived experiences.
Yeah.
And, you know, what worked and what hasn't worked for us. And that's really important. And I think, you know, oftentimes when you are diagnosed, it's like you're seeing all these doctors, all these people as medical professionals, but really what's the emotional impact
100%
of everything you're going through?
Yeah, and you feel so invisible and you don't know what's going on, that you kind of don't want to open up to your support system, because you think you're going crazy, so you think that they're going to think you're going crazy. And that is why awareness is so key. And I know you were saying, you know, you're not medically trained, you're not a doctor and this and that, but that's why it's so powerful to us as sufferers be so open and raise awareness, because that's how people find comfort. That's how people feel less alone. They can relate. They know that this is, you know, they aren't going crazy. They're not thinking this in their head. It's real. They are visible. They need to speak up. They deserve treatment. And it gives people that, that's sort of the toolbox, really, to go forward.
Exactly, yeah. And I think that's so important. You know, it's like, you know, I'm diagnosed. What now? Yeah. It's really that. And, you know, we're really trying to also reach people who don't have ataxia.
Yeah.
So, you know, people with other conditions, so like Lyme disease, or, you know, who might have MS or Parkinson's or something else completely different. And because they also might know someone who might actually have ataxia and who's just been undiagnosed, or, you know, it's really just about spreading that awareness. And I think, you know, we're all in the same boat in the sense of, you know, we're all living with some sort of chronic illness and some sort of disability. So it's really about connecting with everyone 100%. And being able to spread that message.
Yeah, and like you were saying, you know, when you get diagnosed, it's almost like, right, I'm diagnosed now. And it's like, oh my gosh, but I don't really know what I'm diagnosed with. I don't know what's going on. Yes, I've got answers, but then it's like, right, I need to find a Facebook page or a group. I need to find an organization because I need answers. I need to ask the questions because I, you know, you feel like you're lacking in knowledge within your diagnosis.
Yeah, exactly. And the thing is, there is no cure for ataxia. It's something that is progressive and is degenerative. So over time, it's going to get worse. And really, there is no cure, and there's so many different types of ataxia.
Yeah.
There's different symptoms for each. So it's also difficult in that sense because, you know, people might wonder, you know, where do I turn and what do I look for? You know, it might look really bleak.
Yeah.
And, you know, and that's what we're there for.
And I think it's important at this time to kind of go through maybe the telltale signs of like new symptoms that may give it away, but also how the symptoms progress over time if left, obviously, untreated.
Definitely, yeah. So some common symptoms of ataxia are, you know, lack of coordination, slurred speech. There can be trouble eating or swallowing, deterioration of your fine motor skills, difficulty walking, gait abnormalities, tremors. So it's what it is. It's the part of the brain that's the cerebellum that's atrophied. Okay. And the cerebellum is really that house that controls balance and coordination. And as there's more atrophy over time, other areas in the nervous system also get affected.
Yes, I can understand that. 100%. And I think that's scary as well when you feel almost like your body's out of control, because it's simple things like balance, you feel like that's something that you should be in control of. So when you feel like you feel drunk, like you were saying before, you're thinking, oh my gosh, like I'm not driving the car anymore, almost. Mm-hmm. And that mentally is hard to just digest, let alone deal with the symptoms.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, I love one of the episodes where you talk about, you know, gratitude, and then also not judging someone for, you know, what might appear.
Yeah.
And so a lot of the time with ataxia, because you can appear drunk-like, it's really not judging a book by its cover. You know, the person might be going through something and not just writing someone off because of, you know, how they look or how they might be talking.
100%. And I think that's what's so sad about society now, which is why I try and raise as much awareness on it as possible, because you're probably very much like me. We've had people who have said very, very harsh things about us during, you know, the times when we have been really, really, really poorly. And you just want to break down and you're like, oh my gosh, like you kind of take on that blame yourself because you think, oh my gosh, I'm not holding it together in public. They're seeing that I'm struggling, but I don't know why I'm struggling. What's going on in my body? Am I to blame? Have I, you know, committed a crime that fate is now punishing me for? And that is why I always try and say, you know, to bring out the inner beauty, compliment people on their personality, their traits, their talents, because no, we've all got our own problems. Everyone's going through something. And to focus on appearance, I think, is is kind of a slippery slope.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I'm going back to what you just said about talents. We actually just started a new video series called A Taxian's Got Talent.
It's love a play that. On
America's Got Talent or Britain's Got Talent.
Yeah.
And essentially, many of us with a taxi have had to adapt our lifestyles.
Yeah.
So, you know, we still have a lot of talents, quote unquote talents.
Oh.
You know, baking, crocheting, doing a lot of things. And, you know, we're not just thrown aside because we have a disability. And that's what often happens.
Yeah.
Is that people are just overlooked. But, you know, the purpose of this series is really to highlight how diverse the community is.
Yeah.
And being able to see, you know, what we can actually do.
I think that it's amazing because, again, your self-worth, your self-esteem, your self-confidence, everything gets battered when you become poorly because you feel like you've, like, lost your identity. Because obviously a lot of us obviously lose our careers or we lose our hobbies and things like that. And it's really, really hard to rebuild and to kind of go down a different road and have, like, a new focus. So I think it's really, really important for people suffering to see other sufferers kind of divert their life and rocket it and do something new, do something still fun, and start to rebuild their castles and grow and rediscover their magic again. Because illness isn't, you know, a death sentence. It's hard. It's hard to come to terms with, but it doesn't define you as a person and it doesn't make you any less great.
Exactly. And, you know, definitely, you know, highlighting what we can do. And like you said, you know, it doesn't, you know, we're still humans, we're still people, and we still have, you know, a lot to give and a lot out there. So it's really important to spotlight that for sure.
Yeah. And would you like to sort of dive into all your current campaigns that you've got going on currently? Because I know that you're doing so much.
Yeah, that'd be great. So right now, at the time of this recording, we've got something called A Taxi Be Like, which is a social media awareness campaign.
Love that.
So the idea, it's a lot of fun actually.
Yeah.
So the idea is that if you have Instagram or Facebook, you post a photo of yourself spreading awareness, whatever that means to you. So you could be, you know, chatting with a friend. You could take a picture of that. You could put, you know, you could be wearing a shirt. You could be, you know, doing whatever that means.
Yeah.
And then what you'll do is then tag 5 other people. And then you'll also hashtag A Taxi Be Like, which is the name of this campaign.
Perfect.
And essentially, yeah. And essentially on October 20th, what we're going to do is just randomly select 2 people. And they're each going to get a yoga session. So it's adaptable yoga in the sense that we have, you know, chair yoga. But also if you don't want the yoga for yourself, you can give it to a friend. You know, there might be a family member or a friend that you know that wants it.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And 2 of these people who are yoga practitioners, they've generously decided to volunteer their time. So they're giving away 2 free 45-minute yoga sessions.
That's so good. And I think, like, yoga is one of those exercises. I know that I love yoga and I love walking. And those simple things that just move your body but aren't, like, too much for your body. But you just feel like you've done something. You feel a bit more fulfilled, a bit healthier. So I think that's amazing.
Yeah, it's great. Thank you. And, you know, we've been getting a lot of submissions and, You know, I think, you know, the key is really that spreading the awareness. Yes. So, you know, the whole idea of yoga, which I thought would be great, is because a lot of people who might not have a taxi might be interested in having a yoga session for themselves. Yeah. And so, you know, if we can really attract people outside of the community as well, you know, it's great.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah.
Everyone loves a good prize.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's going on right now. We did have a fundraiser that was scheduled, but because of the pandemic, we moved it. It's called a Taxi a Burpee Challenge. Ooh. So ABC for short. And we're running that next year. And essentially, for every burpee you do, it'll be equivalent to the money that you would raise. So if you raise $5, you do 5 burpees. And we're really working with actually a registered charity. So we are working with Ataxia Canada, which is a national Ataxia Foundation based in Canada.
Yeah,
and they do a lot of great work. They do a lot of research, a lot of support. And so we wanted to be able to fundraise for them so that they could really be able to put the funds towards good use as well.
Yeah, 100%. And I think that, you know, it's a great message and it's fun as well, which I think is important. So I think you're smashing it. You're doing amazing. You're getting everybody involved, which is lovely because I know especially when you've got strong support systems, they also want to get involved and feel like they're helping out. So when it's very inclusive, that's really, really great as well.
Yeah, no, it's great. And thank you for the kind words. And we're really excited. You know, we've only been around for about a year, almost to count up on a year now that we actually formed the group. And then we became an official nonprofit a few months ago. So
wow.
It's exciting.
Yeah, that is an achievement. You should be so, so proud of yourself. In such a short amount of time as well. That's just amazing. But obviously speaking about already sort of hitting those goals and being a massive success, what do you see for your future? What are the goals?
Yeah, so, you know, we just like to, you know, get better in terms of the support groups we run.
Yeah.
So we run them every week. They're 3 and 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. They're open to anyone. And so being able to be better at that, so being able to host those better, curate them better, organize them. And then we also have these speaker sessions as well. So being able to have really great speakers that come and speak at our support groups. We do that every 14 weeks. So being able to reach out to having people with higher profiles would be great. And being able to do more awareness campaigns and more fundraisers with other charities. You know, we'd like to work with charities across the world. So, you know, Australia, UK, you know, you name it. You know, we want to be global.
Yeah, definitely. Like you're saying, it just helps get your name around the world, really. Mm-hmm. And again, social media, I mean, it gets a bad rep from time to time, but it really it really is the place to connect with everybody on the global stage. And it sounds like you're using it really, really to, you know, promote your organization, but also help so many people.
Yeah, I mean, with social media, it's definitely been great for us.
Yeah.
In the sense that, you know, we can, you know, we have people come to support groups from, you know, Australia, the UK, and, you know, even Cambodia, and we're meeting a lot of different people. And, you know, it's amazing the amount, the reach you can have when you're on the internet.
Yes.
You know, there's no boundaries.
No, of course not. And that's probably the reason why you've like grown so quickly, is because you have been so present on social media. And, you know, people love a good hashtag. People love to go and use it for themselves. And once they find someone that's going through the same as them, it helps them so much that they're so, so supportive. And that support, it's priceless. You can't put a price tag on it.
Yeah, it's you know, that emotional support is really big. You know, I know that, you know, I go through ups and downs, and as everyone does, and especially, you know, when you have a chronic illness, you know, sometimes those downs can feel really bleak at times. And so sometimes it's great to just connect, you know, and be able to talk with other people and to get that support. Sometimes you don't know where to turn. And so it's really important that we have that. I mean, because a lot of things do, the symptoms, because it's neurological, a lot of symptoms do, you know, go with other conditions like Parkinson's or even MS.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of time we can have speakers from those groups just talk, and because a lot of the time they can relate as well, in terms of, you know, what we're going through specifically.
100%. And I mean, obviously, you're taking on a lot of work here. How is your health when it comes to taking on so much work and getting so engaged? Like, how are you managing to balance everything?
Yeah, it's a great question. So I'm really lucky because I'm working from home.
Yeah.
So I'm still working my day job, and I'm working on Hope for Toxia sort of when I'm not doing that. So it's just a lot of balancing, and I have to really just, you know, prioritize my health. I find that I need a lot of sleep, and I have to take care of myself, just be aware of my body. But I do find that, you know, I'm really grateful for the ability to multitask and be able to have these two, because I know it's a lot sometimes. So I can still do it right now, so I'm thankful for that.
Yeah, that's amazing. And I kind of wanted to ask that question because I know a lot of people, we have so many hopes and dreams, but sometimes we're like a bull in a china shop. We're like all or nothing, and we go all out and we're like, yes, so motivated, but we don't take care of our health, and then we end up crashing. So finding that balance is just so, so important to be able to keep going and just keep progressing and succeeding.
Yeah, definitely. And I know that, you know, you talk about that balance and between work and your health and life and everything. And, you know, I think I'm still, sometimes I'm just figuring it out, you know, I'm still on a journey. Definitely, you know, I'm on a journey to acceptance. And I think it's a lifelong thing. You know,
100%.
It takes time,
and I think every day we're always learning, so there's always going to be something new that pops up, always new emotions, always new symptoms, and we're never always going to have all the answers. That's the mystery of life. We've just got to try and make the best of it, realize that time is precious, and just make life our own, even if it doesn't feel like this was the life that we signed up for. We only get one shot at this game, and I really believe that we have to make the best of it.
Exactly. It's you know, it's a really positive message, and I definitely want to be able to impart that onto everyone at Hope for Toxia as well.
Yeah.
That positivity, that empowerment, and that, you know, that inspiration, I think it's really important. Especially when you're dealing with some more challenges.
Yeah, 100%. Well, it's been a joy speaking to you today, Courtney. Is there anything else that you'd like to finish on?
If you want to contact us, we're on Facebook and Instagram. It's just Hope for Toxia, and we have a website. It's hopefortoxia.org. We're always available, so you can always message us. If you have any questions or anything, you can always email us. We're at info@hopefortoxia.org. That's about it, you know.
I will also add all of the links, the Facebook, the Instagram, the campaigns and things, to the notes of this episode as well, so people know where to find you.
Perfect. Thank you so much. And thank you again, Sophie, for all of this. It's been a pleasure just speaking with you, and you're a great host, and you made me feel very comfortable.
Oh, thank you. Well, no, thank you for being a wonderful guest. You've been an honor to interview, and such a delight and such an inspiration. And I'm so proud of what you've achieved so far in such a little time. And it's so exciting to see where you're going to be in another 12 months. It's going to be crazy.
I hope so.
Yeah, of course. I've got every faith in you. But thank you so much, and we'll speak very, very soon.
Great. I will talk to you
soon. Yeah, see you later. Thank you.
All right, bye.